Welcome to everyone who's enjoying their break. Those of us who have to work, we're here. Okay, and we're going to pick up with our discussion of Yeish from last week. Now let's close the door. Right, so last week we focused on the relationship between Yeish of Aveda and Yeish of Gneva, and now we're going to get into the question of what Yeish actually is. So we'll do a couple of chaburas like just on that as a standalone topic, and then we'll go ahead in the Gemara, and we're going to have this issue come up again because we're going to talk about Yeish plus Shinoi Rishus and Yeish plus Shinoi Maisa, right? So for now, we're just going to talk about Yeish like in a vacuum, and then, we'll as the Gemara goes on, right? Things continue to get develop and get more complex. So the jumping off point for us today is the short Tosfos on the bottom of Samach Vav in the base. And Tosfos there make a point which we're very sympathetic to. The Gemara we talked about last week, right, not strange, but kind of mysterious Gemara, where the Gemara was discussing whether Yeish works, right? And we saw three positions in the Gemara. Rabba said Yeish works. Rav Yosef says Yeish does not work to acquire Gneva. And then when Rabba said Yeish works, he said, I'm not sure if it works midoraisa or if it works midoraban, right? And the basis for Rabba's safek was, right, why would Rabba say that Yeish only works midorabanan? Or why would Rabba say that Yeish works midoraisa for gzela? Right, why should it work? What was the line that he had, the svar he gave? Right, why Yeish should work. Yeah, just like we find in the world of Aveda, right? Yeish works in Aveda. If you lost something and you gave up, so you lose it. So Satun Gazela, if it's gone and you gave up, you should lose it. And then what's the count? What's the response? Like, why shouldn't Yeish work in Gneva?
It came to your hands in
Isser, exactly. And the question we have to ask is, what does that mean? Right, so we saw the Ramban last time who said you could have, you know, there's Yeish of Aveda, and there's Yeish of Gneva, and you could have a case where you stole something, but the guy's Yeish was an Aveda Yeish because he lost it, then you stole it, and then you could have this Frankenstein case where you're going to have a full Kenyan.
That was the opinion of the Gaon, right?
That was what?
Wasn't that all in the name of
Go. That was based, excellent, yeah, that was based on the Gersa of the Gaon, who said that you, when you see someone lose his money and you take it with intent to steal, so the Gaonim wrote into the Gemara that if you give it back, it's only a matana ba'alma. So the Ramban liked that, but he's just trying to explain why it's true. So there he says that the guy has done a Yeish of Aveda, you've done an action of Gneva, and then it's gonna work, but we still have to explain why Kaven beisur liyade. Why is that going to prevent Yeish from being effective in Gneva? And that is going to give us a bunch of options as to what we think Yeish actually is. Right? How does Yeish actually affect the Kenyan? So Tosfos say on the very first line, right? Kaven beisur asur liyade. So Tosfos quote the Gemara, and they say, well, we see from here that Yeish is not Hafker, right? It must be that Yeish does not work like Hafker, even though it seems like Hafker, because, right, what's Hafker? Hafker is you used to own something, and then you relinquish your ownership of it, and someone can now pick it up and take it for themselves. So that seems an awful lot like Yeish, where the person lost it or was stolen from the person, and then they, you know, said, okay, you know, I'm not getting it back, so whoever gets it, gets it. But those who say that, in fact, Yeish and Hafker are different. And what's their proof that Yeish and Hafker are different? The line in the Gemara, right? Kaven isura asiliyade. If all Yeish is hefker, then this doesn't make any sense. Because if Yeish is hefker, then we should just say that he was mafker the object. It's no longer in his rishus. How do I care how you got it, right? Whether you got it in a good way or in a mutter way or an usser way. It's not his. Now it's yours. Now what they actually say, right, is Ein kehefker gummer. It is not completely like hefker, which raises what question for us?
Well, maybe it's a little like hefker.
Yeah, exactly, right? Well, what is it then, right? So it's sort of like Hefker, it's kind of Hefker, right? And they're pretty vague on that point. We know what it's not. We know it's not regular, routine, full Hefker. But now Tosos kind of leave for us, what is it, right? And these, like you're saying, they make it seem like it's kind of like Hefker, right? Or you know, it's Hefker Eino Gomer, you could say, whatever that means. Right then, just they have an interesting question on themselves, right? Because they quote a Gemara in Gittin, which says that, you know, if someone, you have a runaway slave, right? So you have a runaway Eved, and so usually, if you want to free your Eved Kanani, so, right, you have to write up a, get shechver, right? Because you have, besides the financial ownership you have over the Eved, right, there's also, kind of analogously to marriage, there's also a relationship. There's also a legal relationship, not just a financial relationship, between the Eved and the Rav. And so therefore, you can't just have money, you also have to have the Get Shechur, right, which gets rid of what we call the Kinyan Isser, right? So that's the phrase we use for the legal relationship between the two. Right, so Tosos then, so the quote, the Gemara, which says that if you have Yeyush on an Eved Kanani, you do not need a Get Shechur, which makes it sound like Yeyush is working like Hefker, right? Because how is, just because I've given up on owning on the Eved, why should that make the Eved go free, right? It sounds like Yeyush really is working like Hefker. So Tosos then have this Chiddush, right, that the essence of ownership of an Eved is the ability to control him, right? That he's in your rishus, he's under your authority. So they say, for purposes in the world of Eved, Hefker and Yeyush are going to work the same way, right? Because all Yeyush means is I've given up on having this object. Even though that's not Hefker, that is enough to get rid of the Eved Rav relationship, and you don't need to get Shechter, right? Because you've demonstrated that you no longer have authority over the Eved, and that's enough. Right, but the question is, right, again, what is Yeyush if Yeyush isn't Hefker? right, so we know we've got to throw out a number of suggestions as to what Yeyush is. So one possibility we could say, right, if we discount Tosfos, we could say that Yeyush is Hefker. Right? Maybe Yeyush really is just a regular Maisa Hefker. Right, and despite Tosfos' protest to the contrary, we're going to ignore what they have to say. I don't remember from last week. Rashi. Excellent, exactly. That seems to be Rashi, and we'll try to prove that in 10 seconds. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz here actually called Yeyush Hefker explicitly, but if you remember last week, they were talking about Yeyush of Aveda, right? And Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz had a distinction between Yeyush of Aveda and Yeyush of Gneva, right? That was machlokas between Tosfos and Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. But so he thinks that Yeyush of Aveda is Hefker, but he seems to think that Yeyush of Gneva is something different. But as Lisa said a second ago, Rashi really seems to think that Yeyush is Hefker, right? And we have, I don't think this is a comprehensive survey of the sources that I gave you, right? But here's like a blitz, you could see it, you know, easily underlined on the source quotes, of five different Rashis, where Rashi keeps on going back, calling something that's Yeyush Hefker, right? The first one is literally the very first Rashi in Parak Eilu Metzios, right, the second parak above Metzia. Off the bat, Rashi is saying that Yeyush is Hefker. We have this in Bava Metzia Chav Zayin, Gittin, right, etc., etc. Yeah.
Is it all very similar to Rashi? I mean, like, I guess the town of the Rashi is kind of hard for that, but
100%, yeah.
The Rashi, can you read those as saying that there's, like, not the issue that I'm thinking of Hefker, but, like, Hefker is, like, the status of something which is,
And that's actually exactly.
I read the Ritva that way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. How do you read the Ritva?
Like how Yoni was saying that you're Miyayish something, and then it becomes.
Right. So what you'll say is that is Yeyush a Maisa Hefker? Absolutely not. Yeyush is a different act from Hefker, right? We're probably not going to get to it today. Maybe we'll start. But the...
But like, wouldn't that fit then within, potentially within Tosos reading also then?
A hundred percent. Tosos is a blank canvas for us, right? All we know from Tosos is that Yeish is not full Hefker, right? And as Lisa was arguing, it also seems like there is a relationship between Yeish and Hefker, right? So we've got some middle range, and pinning Tosos beyond that is going to be difficult to do with certainty, but we can offer up options. So before we get... So, you know what, the... What charter should do this? Okay, we could talk about the Ritva. Right, the Ritva for you. So he says, right, since this thing has no simon, right, since the lost object, you don't know what it is. So Iyushim Yayish, Istama, presumably there is Yayish, and Nasa Hefker. So if you read this at first glance, you would say, oh, Yayish is Hefker, right? But exactly, if you read it more carefully, you could make the following argument. You could say that what the Ritva is actually saying is that a Maisa Yayish is not a Maisa Hefker. But there are different ways to get to Hefker, right? You can get a Chalos Hefker without a Maisa Hefker, right? Perhaps you can have an act of Yeish, and the act of Yeish, right, you have two roads that are going to lead you to the same destination. 99% of the time it's going to be Hefker because you own something, you mafkir it, and that's how it works, right? Yeish can only work in very specific circumstances. Right. If I have my phone right here, I can't do yayish on my phone. Right. Just by definition, that's I'm not miyash my phone. It's right here. I can be mafker the phone, but yayish can only happen in limited circumstances where it's actually gone. And that's going to be very important for when we get to the discussion of the Ramban and the question of bitul chametz, because the Ramban is going to ask all these questions. Arguing that bittel is not hefker, and so we're going to have to do two things in response. Number one, right, and that's part of what Rav Lichtenstein does, is demonstrate how we can answer the Ramban, how we can explain that bittel chametz is hefker. Number two, we've got to explain what the Ramban actually thinks bittel is, because he keeps on talking about yeish as opposed to hefker in his discussion of bittel chametz, and it one direction to go in is to talk about the difference between a Maisa of Hefker and a Chalos of Hefker. But Rashi really seems to think that Yeish is Hefker, full stop. And I say that for a couple of reasons. Number one is just because of the spread of the term, right? The fact that he keeps on talking about Hefker at every opportunity. But the one that really jumps out to me is the last one I gave you guys, the one on Bava Metzia Chaf Beis and my base. And why is that? So that is, I probably should have given you the little piece of Gemara, right? But did you see the Me'iri?
Yeah.
On Chaf Beis and my base? Right, so do you know what case they're talking about there?
The Yeish for Atonement, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara has just finished talking about Yeish Shalomi Das, right, which was the machlokas between Rav and Abaye, right? If someone doesn't know that he lost something, but had he known he lost it, we'd assume yayish. So is there yayish or not? And Rav says yes. Abaye says no. If he doesn't know it's lost, there can't be yayish. And we pass on like Abaye, right? That's the yeh in Ya'al Kagam. So right after that, the Gemara talks about cases where there is presumed yayish, right? Where the guy hasn't said, I am yayish, but we can assume that there is yayish. So I think the case in the Gemara is where there's like a windstorm and the dates are being blown all over the place. Right? So presumably the owners of the dates have been yayish because, all the dates are blowing all over. So the Gemara asks, what about orphans? Because if the date orchard is owned by orphans, then orphans cannot do yayish, apparently. And when the Gemara says orphans can't do yayish, the Gemara explains, yasmi delav b'nei mechila ninhu, right? Orphans are not able to forgive financial losses. So the Me'iri comments on that, and he says, yeah, well, yayish is... Mimin, yeish mimin mechila. Yeish is a type of mechila, The Yisom, Einabe Mechila, right? Legally, orphans, right? Minor orphans, right? Their point is Ketanim. Ketanim are not able, right? You know, for logical reasons, right? Ketanim don't have Das. So, you know, you could imagine them saying, oh, yeah, right, I forgive my debts or whatever. So that's not legally binding, right? Orphans cannot forgive their losses. And the Meiri, just reading the Gemara straight, says, you know, Yesh is a type of Mechila. What does Rashi say, though? Right, so Rashi on the last Rashi in the bunch, right there, Maskel Yasmi. So what does he say instead?
There's no hefker.
There's no hefker, right? She'ain hefker on hefker. So, you know, point number one is that Rashi is going away from the straight read of the Gemara, right? The Gemara talks about Mechila. Rashi introduces hefker. Point number two, and it's maybe a little bit too careful, but in yeah.
Are you assuming necessarily
ketanim? We're assuming that they're ketanim, and that's just how you have a hechitimtzi of ketanim who own all this real estate. All
right.
But also Rashi says ain hefker and hefker, right? It sounds like they're making it hefker, doesn't make it hefker. So he seems to be calling maisa yeyesh a maisa hefker. And that is why Ketanim can't do it, because Ketanim cannot be mafker things, and therefore they can't be miyayish on things as well, right? So just from the careful read of what he wrote, and the fact that he's going against the civil pshat of the Gemara, and the spread we have in Rashi, it really seems like he thinks what Tosfos didn't want to say, and he thinks that Yeyush is a full-blown hefker. Now, yeah, just one second. If that's the case, right, if Rashi actually disagrees with Tosos and Rashi thinks that Yeyush is a full Maisa Hafker, Chalos Hafker, then what question comes back?
Why Yeyush is
Kelner? Excellent, right? So then what are we going to do with Kevan Dibi Isura Asa Li Yade, right? Tosos proved that Yeyush isn't full-blown Hafker because otherwise, why would you say that it doesn't work in Gneva? Why would you say that Yisrael Yadav makes a difference? So if Rashi is going to say that Yisrael, that Hefker is, that Yeyush is Hefker, then he's going to have to respond to this question. Any ideas of what Rashi could do? Any throw any suggestions?
Well, he could go like Tosos and basically say that. Right, it's all full-blown healthcare, but there's a component of healthcare, right? And therefore, we still apply by the common. And you need a little bit of healthcare, even though the entire idea is employed.
Right, but if I stiff arm Tosfos and I say no, right? Yeyish, healthcare. It doesn't work for the record, but you know they're like very tight. They're the same thing. So what can I say? So I think there are, at least just at this early stage, two points to make. Number one, we haven't yet discussed whether we paskin Yeyush is Kona for Geneva or not Kona for Geneva, right? So if I really was into Yeyush being a real hefker, and then I'm bothered by the Gemara B'Yisur Asliyadeh, so you'd at least be happy if Rashi thought that Yeyush Kedi was Kani for Geneva. Right, there. You know, I have to. Rashi has to explain the Manda Amar that Yeyush doesn't work, but at least Rashi himself maybe thinks that Yeyush works for Geneva, and his own Shita isn't bothered by Isur Asliyadeh. Right, that would be true. And a bit of a spoiler is that Rashi actually does seem to think that Yeyush alone is Konet for Geneva. Right, that's a huge Machlokas Rishonim. By far, the significant majority of Rishonim think that Yeyush alone is not Kona, but we'll see that Rashi actually seems to think that it does. So that's going to mitigate the problem of Isur Asliyadeh, because right, Rashi will have to explain that tzad in the Gemara, but that tzad in the Gemara is really only going to be a Havamina / a rejected Shita. It's not going to be what we think Yeyush actually is at the end of the day. So that's point number one. It doesn't get us all the way there, because he still needs to explain the Gemara. Right. So point number two, we can get a little bit cute and tie this into a Rashi that we already saw on Samachay Amud Aleph, where if you remember, in the context of Tavra Vishasya, where the guy broke the barrel. So Rashi there said that as long as the barrel was in existence, you had an obligation to give it back, right? And therefore we said, right, said Rashi, where was the line here? That as long as it exists, it is in the possession of the original owner, because you have to give it back, right? So at the time we said, it sounds like Rashi thinks that really the act of Geneva should perpetrate full kinyanim for the ganav, and the only thing that's holding it back, the only thing that's preserving the connection to the bailim, is the fact that the Torah said, v'heshev es agzeila asher gazal. Right? In fact, the Torah imposed this obligation on you to return it. So probably what I think we would say for Rashi, when the Gemara talks about Yisura Asa Liyadeh, is we say, yeah, Yeyosh is a full Maisa Hafker. However, here it's a full Maisa Hafker in context. It's a full Maisa Hafker in context of Yisura Asa Liyadeh. It's Hafker in the context of Geneva. And even though the Bailim was Mafkir, what did you do? You stole, and what did the Torah say? The Torah said you have to give it back, right? So right, at minimum that's gonna create a financial chov, right, that I have to compensate him for what I stole. But perhaps that's gonna do even more. Perhaps the Torah is saying that despite the fact that he did a real Maisa Hefker, since Yisur Asliyadeh, we're saying you have to give it back anyway. Right? Beheshav es Agzeil Asher Gazal. So you have an underlying Yeyosh equals Hefker. But the Torah is imposing on top of that, right, this new chiyuv hashava, which we already have seen. Rashi seems to be into. Okay, so if we're going to take the radical shot in Yeish, that Yeish really is hardcore hefker, it's number one, right? Rashi seems to say that it'll be easier to stomach if you actually pass in Yeish kedikani. And number three is that then you'll probably be talking about the chiyuve hashava that the Torah imposes as explaining why isur es liyadeh, why there's no full kinyan, why aren't you pater, why can't you just keep something that you stole in the same way that you can keep something that was lost and found. Okay, but as we said, right, Tosfos themselves do not accept this. Tosfos said that Yeyosh is not kehefker gamor. So the question then becomes, what do Tosfos think that hefker is, right, that Yeyosh is? So one possibility, certainly, I think we could say, is that Tosos maybe agrees with the way we're learning this Ritva in the beginning of Metzia. That when they say, yesh, not kehefker gamor, they mean that it's not a... I don't think we could say that. Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think we can say that Tosos think that yesh is a chalos hefker without a mice hefker, because their problem should still exist, right? If at the end of the day... In other words, there are really two main areas of objection you could make to hefker, to Yeish being hefker. One set of objections you can make is on the Maisa side, right? So those are the ones that we'll see in the Ramban, right? Where doesn't hefker need to be done verbally? Doesn't hefker need to be done in front of a bezdin, right? That's not actually what Tosfos was asking about. Tosfos was asking about not the Maisa side of hefker. They're really asking about the chalos side of hefker, right? They're asking on the legal effectiveness level that if Yeyosh is, you know, fully hefker at the end of the day, then you shouldn't have to give it back, right? Yisur Asliyadeh shouldn't matter. So Tosfos actually probably don't think that Yeyosh is hefker even at a chalos level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then that still leaves us with the mystery of what Tosfos think that hefker is, that Yeyosh is. But we have two approaches. Maybe Yeyosh is a Maisa of Hefker, despite those objections. Maybe Yeyosh is a Maisa Yeyosh, the Chalos Hefker. And that's going to leave us to investigate what does that mean. Right? What does it mean you have a Maisa Yeyosh with a Chalos Hefker? And that's going to get us to talk about the significance of circumstances, right? The fact that this is a context of Yeyosh. So what impact will the circumstances have on the means of kinyan? In other words, what normally would not be a viable means of hefker in the context of Yesh will be a means of Hefker, and that's what we'll get into with the Ramban and Urbar. So option number three is that Yesh is something, is a different Maisa from Hefker. Right? That seemed to be honestly what the Meiri was saying, where the Meiri said that Yesh is Mechila. We know what Mechila is, right? You know, you could be Mochel on your debts. We don't say that you're doing Hefker when you're Mochel on your debts, right? You can just, you know, forgive. I forgive whatever is owed to me. So let's talk that out. If we're going to call, because I'm still honestly like thought experimenting on this. If we're calling Yeyush Mechila, so how does that, when the ganav or the motzei acquires the object, so how exactly is he acquiring it? Who's he acquiring it from?
Acquiring it from the former owner.
Exactly, right? He's not acquiring it from Hefker. If we said the Yesh was Hefker, then we're saying that, right, the bailus of the original owner is gone, and you acquire it from Hefker. Now we're saying, no, actually, maybe you acquire it from the owner himself.
Do we know that the Mechila process is to the person who now, to the Motze or the Ganav? What if it's to sort of half-caringness?
In other words,
is that a conflation of ideas?
No, I think so. You'd say, you know, it's a universal Mechila, right? In other words, I forgive. Whoever the person is who gets it, I forgive that person, right? I give him the ability to take it, because what do I care? It's gone. Which seems very different from Hefker, right? Hefker is emphasizing my relinquishing my rights, right? Just in a vacuum, right? I'm pulling out of this object. Mechila is saying that I'm allowing the person who now has it to have it, right? It's more of a maisa kinyan, that I am giving him the rights to the object. If that's what Yeyush is, then let's come back to Bisur Es L'Yadeh. What are we going to say about Bisur Es L'Yadeh?
Who says Hefker, though, also doesn't work the same way?
What?
Who says Hefker also doesn't work the same way? Because, like, there are different, you can do Mafker for certain people, Mafker for, like, you know, certain extents, right? Like the whole Gemara about, like, the lion. You can Mafker just for, like, a lion.
So, I mean, we'll get to that. But the whole point is that that's actually not the case, right? You cannot do hefker to certain individuals, right? Hefker la'aniyim, right? If I want to make myself hefker, but only for the poor, so that doesn't work, right?
Well, according to certain readings, like, otherwise it might.
But like at the end of the day, like if you wanted to be mafker your stuff for the poor, we'd say it's very noble, but it's not very halacha. Right? Because hefker means either you're pulling out or you're not pulling out. You can't pull out. And keep one foot in the water. If you're keeping one foot in the water, then it's not hefker, right? Either you're relinquishing your rights, or you're not relinquishing your rights.
And you guys are also just assuming that hefker is pulling out completely.
Yeah,
the hefker is not just like.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm assuming. But so then, if we thought that Yesh was, you know, not a Maisa Hefker, not a Chalos Hefker, but we're coming up with some rival model. So we pose the model of Mechila. What are we going to say about Bisur Es L'Yadeh? Why is Bisur Es L'Yadeh a problem for Yeyush? Just mentally reconstruct the case. It's not, I'm not asking anything fancy.
If it's Mechila, that's Mechila, the model be a problem.
What?
I mean, there's no, like, transactional relationship for you to do the Mechila.
A little more than that. What happened here?
You stole it.
So right.
There was no Mechila.
Exactly.
Fine.
Right? Like, you know.
Well, then there's no Yeyush. Then you can't call it Yeyush.
So then, exactly. So then what are you going to... If Ramiri says that Yeyush is Mimin Mechila, so then what is he going to say about Yeyush in the world of Gzela?
There's no Yeyush. There's no Mechila there.
You're taking this too literally there, aren't you, though? There's no point in Mechila, it just means that it's a type of way of getting rid of Chovos. Mechila means that it's a thing, Yeshu is like a type of way of like, I'm losing my Chov, and it can be for any million reasons. But like one of which is because I just give up on ever getting it back. So the same thing is true here. I'm giving up on ever getting my Geneva back. That's what Yeshu is.
I don't know. It's already said. He said it works because I forgive. And then he had a legal explanation for that. The fact that the orphans cannot do yeish is because we know that orphans can't mochel their chobos. So I don't see. I could read it otherwise, but I don't see why I should, or I don't see why I can't propose this as a model. Right? And exactly, if I think that Yeish is Mechila, then I'm certainly going to be bothered by Bisura Asaliyadeh, because that makes it distinctly likely that he wasn't Mochel. Right? So, you know, then maybe we could talk about like a... yeah. That's exactly what I would say. And then, why is Yeish going to work? So, you know, Yeish only will work. Yeish and Avi, Yeish and Gneva, we're going to be talking about something totally different, right? We're going to have to talk about a whole different mechanism of Yeish, right? Which likely is only going to work in conjunction with other things, such as Shini Maisa, Shini Rishas, etc., right? Where what's going on there is not Yeish in a sense of Mechila, because then if it was Mechila, you could take it by yourself. What we're going to talk about there is the fact that he has given up is going to have certain other nafkamina, which will rear their heads in context of you know, Shinoi Maisa, Shinoi Reshas, etc. But that you would say that Yeish of Gneva and Yeish of Aveda are totally different, and that's exactly why Yeish of Gneva doesn't work by itself. Fine. So that's just one possibility to throw out there. If you thought that Yeish was not a Maisa Hefker, maybe you could say that Yeish it means Mechila. But what about the Nesivos, right? So the Nesivos does something brilliant. Right? And he's trying to come up with his model of Yeish, which is not a Maisa Hefker, but as Tosa said, is related to Hefker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does he develop?
If you're mafkir something, it becomes hefker immediately. Even if no one picks it up, it has hefker status. But
right.
Yeish only kicks in once someone picks it up.
Exactly. And that is called hefker de Rebbe Yossi. Why is it called hefker de Rebbe Yossi? Because there's a Mishnah in Nedarim. So someone, right, so you have a neder against getting hana'a from Shimon. Right, so Reuben and Shimon, even though one has an edger against getting hana from the other, somehow, some way, the two of them are together on a trip in the desert, right? And Shimon needs some of Reuben's provisions, but there's an edger against them getting those provisions. So what can you do? So the obvious suggestion would be, well, why not have Reuben make his stuff hefker? And then once the stuff is hefker, then Shimon can take it, right? Because then I'm not getting hana from Reuben's stuff. I'm getting hana from Hefker stuff. So the Chachamim say that's exactly what you do, right? Have Reuven make his stuff Hefker, and then Shimon can use it. But Rabbi Yossi says that doesn't work, right? That Hefker, you can't just have Reuven say, my stuff is Hefker, and Shimon say, cool, I can take it. Because Rabbi Yossi says that Hefker really works like a gift, right? Hefker is kimatana. Meaning what? Meaning when I make my phone Hefker, that doesn't mean it's ownerless, right? Rabbi Yossi understands that hefker means that my phone now, I give the right to anybody who wants this, it'll be a gift from me, right? So I give universal rights to people to claim this as a gift. Now, if that's the case, in that case in Nedarim, so Shimon still can't take my provisions, right? Because even though I made them hefker, I'm still the owner. And if Shimon takes it, then he's going to be taking it from me, right? And you can't do that because there's a neder, right? There's a neder against him getting hana from me. So that's called hefker de Rabbi Yossi, right? This model of hefker as I can't just pull out, you know, there are no vacuums in halachic ownership. All I can do is allow people, give people the rights to take it, and they're going to be getting it from me. So says in Asivos, that is exactly what Yeish is, right? We do not paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the world of Hefker, but we do paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the world of Yeish, right? Yeish is Hefker and Rabbi Yossi. And so he has a number of proofs slash nafkaminas for this. So his the main, as he was saying a second ago, right? His main nafkamina for this is going to be that that when does the object leave the reshus of the miyayish, right? So if I think that yeish is hefker, then it's going to leave the reshus of the miyayish immediately, right? Because we lahalacha reject Rabbi Yossi. But if I think that yeish is hefker Rabbi Yossi, then the object is going to stay in the possession of the bailim until the new person takes it up, right? Until the zocha comes and claims it. And with that, he gets all excited because he can explain this funny Gemara in Bava Kama Kuftesvav, right? Gemara Kuftesvav, where the Rav Safra is in a traveling caravan, and the traveling caravan is being menaced by a lion. So what do? Right, they're taking straws every day. Which person today is going to have to throw his donkey to the lion? Right, and then the lion eats that donkey, and then the next day, right, and they're continuing trying to keep the lion happy until they reach town. So on the day that was Rav Safra's turn to throw his donkey to the lion, so what happened? Baruch Hashem, right, turns out the lion wasn't hungry, right? The lion is not eating, or Safra throws his donkey to the lion, and the lion isn't interested, right? He's full, he's not eating the lion today. So the Gemara says, right, that Rav Safra quickly ran in and grabbed his donkey to make sure that no one else would grab it instead. And the Gemara asks, well, he didn't really have to do this, because when he made his lion hefker, when he made his donkey hefker, he only made his donkey hefker with intent that the lion would eat it. And since the lion wasn't eating it, right, so then it's not really hefker. And the Gemara explains, well, the problem was that Rav Safra was traveling with a bunch of Amoratsim who wouldn't understand the subtle differences, and they would think that Rav Safra just made his donkey hefker straight up, and therefore they would jump in and take the donkey. So that's why Rav Safra took the donkey, just to keep life simple. So the Nesiva says that this case proves my argument perfectly. Why does it do that? How does this case prove the Nesiva's argument beautifully? Because he says this is really a case of Yayesh, right? What's actually happening is that Rav Safra has given up on getting on ever having his donkey again, right? Again, these are certain specific circumstances where Yayesh is relevant. Since he threw his donkey to the lions, he assumes he's not getting it back. And then lo and behold, so why doesn't he need to reacquire for himself? Because as soon as the lion is not interested in eating his donkey, so what happens? The yeish is over, right? Kala hayeish, he says. And since the yeish is over, and yeish, argues in Asivos, only means hefker d'Rabbi Yossi, it never left his rishus. And, right, all yeish, it's in my rishus, just now people have the rights to take it because there's yeish. If yeish has ended, it never left my rishus, right? So now I no longer, right, the sweepstakes are over, people can't take this from me anymore. And Mamela, it's automatically my donkey, and really Rav Safra never needed to acquire it for himself. That's the Nesivos' prime proof for his idea that Yeish is Hefker Rabbi Yossi, because it explains the Gemara Kuftesva beautifully. Says in Nesivos, by the way, it also explains Artosis beautifully. What on earth were Tosos saying when they said Yeish is like Hefker, but it's not Hefker Gomer? Oh, they mean is that it's Hefker's Rabbi Yossi, right? It's like Hefker's, first cousin. Right, so that is, that's going to work very, very nicely as well. So I found another second, because I just have a couple of points, and I'll just go, easier to go through them in what I have written down here. Okay, so there were six 6 points in the Nesivos to prove his contention that Yeyush is Hefker de Biyosi. So number one, as we talked about, was his proof from the lion case to demonstrate that that Yeyush never actually leaves Yerushas. Number two, right, this is a great explanation for Tosos, that it's Hefker She'ino Gomer. I was talking about a second ago, right, that Tosos have, it's a very blank slate, right? They just say it's like Hefker, but it's not Hefker Gomer. So Nesivos comes in, he says, my proposal, my theory is exactly what Tosos were saying. Then he has an interesting argument, which last week we talked about the source for Yeyush, right? The kind of nebulous, unclear mucker for Yeyush. Totally, by the way, if Rashi thinks that Yeyush is only Hefker, right? Yeyush is simple Hefker, then that problem goes away, right? Because we don't need a special mucker for Yeyush, because Yeyush is just good old-fashioned Hefker. But if I don't say that, right, then I need to have some mucker for Yeyush. We had the Yerushalmi quote, the case of Avud Mimenu Mikol Adam. Rashi actually quoted that as well. So, you know, let's be intellectually honest. Rashi did quote that source. And in addition, Tosos, right, Tosos made their makor from Simla, right, that the Simla is something which has potential to be reclaimed. Something which does not have potential to be reclaimed, i.e. there's Yeyush, is going to be acquired to the finder. So the Nesivos is very enthusiastic about this. The Nesivos says, yeah, this Mar Malkum that Tosos from Medayik in the Mishnah is like a Gzeiras HaKasuv kind of Mar Malkum, right? That this is the authoritative, not just the source for Yeyush, but it's like it's a Gzeiras HaKasuv, right? It's a source which is totally rooted in the Pasuk. And therefore, says the Nesivos, since Yeyush is a Gzeiras HaKasuv, so I can't invent Yeyush beyond the parameters of the Gzeiras HaKasuv. And what actually happens in the case of Mitzia? Someone found it. Someone took it, right? So I have biblical precedent for Yeyush working when someone takes it and finds it. But I can't go off the range, right? I can't go beyond the Pasuk of Simla. And I cannot argue that Yeyush works if nobody has ever picked this thing up, right? And therefore, I'm going to say that Yeyush is like Hefker de Biyosi, i.e., it remains in the possession of the loser until it enters the possession of the finder.
Can you explain the concept? Isn't Tosfos starting it from the Mishnah and Bava Metzia? Yeah,
but it's not really explicit. The proof that it's not explicit in the Mishnah, by the way, is that the Yerushalmi in the beginning of the Parak asks what's the makar for Yeyush, and they give a different makar.
Right.
So Yerushalmi obviously has the Mishnah. That's a couple Mishnayos later, and they did not think that this Mishnah was offering a makar for Yeyush. But Tosos did, and most other Rishonim did as well. Right, the idea being that anything which is kisimla sao, anything that's like his clothing, right, just like that has a simon and therefore can be identified, so too anything else, which could be identified. Okay. Fine. The Nesivos uses this to explain why Yeyush will work for an Eved, right? Remember, Tosos were bothered. How can the Eved Kanani acquire himself through Yeyush if Yeyush isn't Hefker? Tosos had their chiddush about the, you know, ownership of Eved being all about control, and since Yeyush means there is no control, so Mila he goes free. The Nesivos says very simply that Yeyush is Hefker de Rabbi Yossi. So the owner is mafgir his Eved, and then who, right, that Hefker doesn't work until someone picks him up. Who picks up the Eved? Right, the Eved's gone Hefker through Hefker de Rabbi Yossi, through Yeyush, but it only works once he's claimed by someone. Who claims the Eved? The Eved claims himself. Oh. Right, the second that you know he's Hefker, so he says, okay, cool, right, I'll claim me, and that's exactly how I'm going to go free. So that's his explanation for that. The Nesivos also demonstrates that Yeyush does not potter you from Trumas and Maeseros, right? Why is that? Why is that not the case, right? Hefker doesn't have a chiyuv of Truma Maeser. Ah, Yeish does, because it still belongs to the Bailim until it's claimed by someone else. and finally, the Nesivos brings in, actually, the Nesivos brings in Yoni's case from last week, right? Which is the case of the question of objective Yeish, right? The Gemara talks about, the Gemara quotes, right, it compares Rav Safra's donkey, right, that Rav Safra threw his donkey to the lion, thinking he'd never get it back again, and Nesivos is saying that's Yeish. So the Gemara compares that to when your donkey goes, gets like flooded by the river, and then comes out on the other side. Right, so for a second you thought it was gone, right, you were Miyayish on your donkey, because you thought it got drowned in the flood, right, in the onrush of the water, and then, right, dramatically, right, heroically, the donkey climbs out onto the other side of the riverbank, it survives, and we say that so too in that case, just like Rav Safra did not really need to reacquire his donkey, so too here, you do not need to reacquire your donkey when it emerges from the other side of the river. So the Nesivo says that, right, so that's the exact same point, that's Yeush, not Hefker. And he argues that there is a distinction between the donkey, which has been momentarily flooded by the river and comes out on the other side, versus we have the case of lost in the ocean, right? Lost in the ocean, that was the Yerushalmi source for Yeush, where we said it's objectively gone, right? Nobody has any hope of getting this back. Rashi and the Yerushalmi said that's the source for Yeush. Tos said that, what?
Donkey, you don't think you have the better.
What?
You don't think the bad argument is donkey is not like completely engaged in the whole world? There's just a far fetched
No, absolutely not. It's in the river.
Yeah, but like nobody's gonna get it unless you, like, you go get it right now.
So that's exactly what the Nesivos says. The Nesivos says, look, hypothetically, right, if you had someone who was like a super dedicated animal rights activist or an excellent swimmer, they could swim into the middle of the stream and save the donkey. But no one's going to do it because it's difficult, it's risky, it's challenging, right? But it's not gone. It's not like when something is swept overboard and it's in the open sea. Yeah, exactly, right? Right, so he says that the difference between those two cases, when it only seems, you know, overwhelmingly likely that it's gone, that's Yeush, right? I don't think I'm getting it back. That's Yeush, but that Yeush is Hefker Drabiosi. When the thing is totally gone, right, it's swept off into the sea, or other cases, that is objective Yeush, and objective Yeush as a Nesivos, there you're going to have Hefker, right? There you're going to have someone who really has relinquished his rights in full. That is Hefker Gomer. Okay, one last point. And the Nesivos says, to be aware of, right, is that the Nesivos makes this distinction between Hefker and Yeush in the sense of Hefker is Midas and Yeush is Shalom Midas, right? That in general, he's impressed with this idea that Hefker is an active decision, right, to push this out of my Rishus. Yeush isn't really an active decision, it's just a reality. Right, it's Shalom Midas. I have given the circumstances, I have given up on getting this back, and that is what creates this reality of Hefker Drabiosi. In other words, I don't think I'm getting it back. It's still mine because I haven't abandoned it, but I no longer have the rights to prevent anyone else from taking it because I don't expect to get it back. Okay, so then we're left with models for Yeish of Maisa Hefker. Maisa Yeish with Chalos Hefker, which we'll talk about more next time. Maybe Yeish as a form of Mechila, and Rabbi Yossi's model of Yeish as as Hefker de Rabbi Yossi. The last possibility to consider is that Yeish maybe isn't a Maisa Kenyan at all. Maybe all Yeish is. You kind of take the Nesivos and go farther with it and say that Yeish simply gives people the right to take your stuff. I'm not sure.
What does that really mean? How is that different?
How is it different from the nocebos? I'm not sure. It depends on how committed the nocebos is to his hefker idea. Because exactly, you get like different vibes from the nocebos. So partially the nocebos is saying like hefker, but it's hefker biyosi, and then the nocebos is saying, well, it's not a mice hefker; it's just a reality of you know yeah shalomidah. So I'm not sure. Maybe let's leave that off for now. Okay, fine. So in the end of the day, we're left with Maisa Hafker, Chalos Hafker, Mechila, or something analogous, Hafker Gribiosi. Very simple. The other answer is going to be is that you don't think that Yeyesh is Hafker. There's no Hafker at all in Yeyesh. It's never ownerless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. So next time we'll talk about the question.
What?
Yes, that's exactly the question. Is because he's calling it when you call it Hafker Derbiyosi, what exactly does that mean?
You need a right to get it, but that's not
the same thing as like. Right. I hear. Okay.
It means that you have like a potential mechila always standing like you're right.
Hmm?
Like, this means there's like potential mechila, like, always waiting.